Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Survivor Series has just concluded. We have opinions on what we just watched. Are WWE contracts up? And was the Daniel Bryan title switch really a panic move or planned before the Becky Lynch injury? Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our other podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, how'd you like Survivor Series? Did you like Survivor Series?
Jimmy, I liked it. I liked it, but it was not my favorite show of the year. I thought everything, how it all went down this past week, with the two big changes in the matches just days before, to what the company had to work with and what they were forced to work with, more or less, I thought it was the best case scenario. And I'm looking forward to talking about the Charlotte Ronda match, especially in that scenario. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Again, not my favorite. What about you, Jimmy?
The Charlotte beatdown of Ronda was amazing and by far the best part of the show. The rest of the show I thought was terrible. It was frustrating on so many levels. Sure, let's tell this stupid story of SmackDown Live being buried by Raw. It's a joke. It's a complete joke that Raw swept all of these matches. But before we get there, I want specific thoughts, and I need to follow up on something we mentioned on last week's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's show, we talked about how Daniel Bryan's title switch might have been a response to Becky Lynch's injury. If I read this somewhere or saw it in a tweet, I don't know. There are a lot of things that go through my phone, so I apologize if I'm not giving proper credit. The title switch for Daniel Bryan was his idea, and he pushed to be a villain. And the decision was made before the Becky Lynch injury. This was a decision made prior to Becky Lynch getting hurt. It was made over the weekend, last weekend. And the other thing relating to this was I questioned whether AJ Styles had a contract issue because I dated it back in my mind 3 years. There was a tweet that came across my feed about 6:45 today saying, quote, if the dirt sheets are to be believed, AJ and the club haven't signed new deals and their current deals expire in January. Man, between this and the Elite being free agents, 2019 is going to be crazy. Now, I did some Google searches on this, and I haven't seen this dirt sheet report, but I know that I asked around on AJ's contract status and haven't gotten any answers on it, which is unusual because usually if I have a question relating to something, I can usually find somebody with an answer. So we'll file this under something worth watching in the next 6 weeks.
Of course.
Mike, your reactions to both the Bryan title switch and AJ's contract?
The AJ thing, I saw that same tweet earlier too, and unlike you, Jimmy, not able to find out much more information on it. Just going back into the archives with AJ Styles, I did notice that, him signing on with the WWE was, it seemed pretty easy for him to do, when he left the TNA. So that's where I kind of read through the lines that, okay, well, if he is under contract and if it is up and coming for a new one, then I figured it wouldn't be so hard for him to re-sign or him, call the shots on that. So that's where I found it to be a little interesting. Maybe something bad happened behind the scenes. There's a little friction or whatnot. I don't know. There's so much possibility. But that's where I don't think that – I just think in the end they gave him a little time off. They wanted to shock the world. And really, Jimmy, I think going into this that Samoa Joe was going to be the next guy to go up against Daniel Bryan on SmackDown and be the champion. But after tonight on the Survivor Series, the first one to be out in that match, it makes me wonder if he's hurt. I know that's another side story, yep. But it just I thought that would be the possibility there, considering that AJ's title reign was over for the record break, and I really thought that was going to happen. For Daniel Bryan, though, I love the villain move. I think it's great. And, you know, he put on a great show against Brock Lesnar tonight, too. Definitely get his ass kicked in the beginning. I thought this was going to be a two-minute match. But he put the effort out there, and Brock gave him a good fight in the end. And Daniel Bryan, he let Daniel Bryan give him a good fight, rather. But I think it's best for business in this situation right here, with he being the champion and for SmackDown, in that matter.
Yeah, the Daniel Bryan villain thing is interesting. This is the expressions on his face. He's a little bit of a psychopath. I don't know if that's even the proper term to put on it, but the expressions on his face, the trolling of Brock Lesnar before the match, just all the stuff was great. On that regard, on his expressions, the match, Bryan had a fabulous comeback, but that's to be expected. Brock was essentially, they were essentially doing the John Cena SummerSlam match with Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan tonight, and then Bryan made his comeback. I figured he would cheat more than he ended up doing in this match. He ultimately loses the match, but he puts on a good showing in the end, because Daniel Bryan comebacks are always awesome.
Yeah, in the storytelling too, where, you know, he had that cheap low blow without the referee seeing it. It was almost, it was similar to how he won the title with AJ Styles, and, you know, I think that would have been the storyline here on out. This is how Daniel Bryan wins. He cheats. And, you know, it just seemed like that was going to happen. But for Brock Lesnar, it's just one tough dude to take down, and that's not going to happen.
There were some really good stiff shots that Bryan got in when Brock was in that cross face and broke out of it, or when he was in the yes lock, I should say. Yeah, it was called a cross face at one point. And Bryan just, he cross faced him right in the head multiple times with the bony part of his forearm. And just to have the guts to actually hit Brock Lesnar that boldly, that's the good stuff. That is good stuff in pro wrestling, sports entertainment.
Without question. And it was good, you know, the whole reaction right there, the camera right on Brock Lesnar when it looked like he was about to tap out.
Right.
You know, that just told a really good story.
100%. For me, Mike, the real lead story from the show is Charlotte Flair. And biases aside, Charlotte did about as good a violent beatdown as we've seen in a long time. And Charlotte snapped, put a beatdown on Ronda that was just insanely good. Charlotte was disqualified for the match for hitting Ronda with a kendo stick. And then just that beatdown was just fabulous. And there are some things that I was thinking about as I was putting together my notes, and that is Charlotte in her promos on social media was saying how she was fighting for Becky Lynch. She was fighting for her friend, somebody who storyline, they've been enemies against each other. And as one of my friends pointed out to me via text message, the finish that you saw tonight between Charlotte and Ronda might have been the planned finish for Becky Lynch versus Ronda, which was give them a DQ finish with that type of beatdown. But as far as the match goes, from the start to the disqualification to the violence that Charlotte used, and if you looked at Ronda's body after, like, Charlotte put a whooping on her.
Yeah.
And that was the good stuff. That was really, really good stuff in pro wrestling. And I think the intensity that Charlotte showed is what got the fans behind her. And they weren't really favorable to Ronda all that much, which I was kind of surprised, because it was an LA crowd and Ronda's been doing a lot of good stuff to have the crowd behind her, but Charlotte turned them.
Yeah, Charlotte turned them, you know, and obviously with the blood, the unintentional elbow there, that made it look even worse there for Ronda. She looked like a beaten up woman. I mean, it didn't look like a win for her. I know it was a disqualification. Another thing to add on here.
On my predictions on Twitter, I gave Charlotte the win in this because she won the war of that.
Congratulations.
She lost the match, but she won the war.
Well, the other thing, too, to consider on this, and maybe they tell this in the story, as we know, Raw had the quote-unquote sweep of the Survivor right. Series. And I want to talk about that in a minute with the why I think there should be a stipulation. But when you think about this match, Jimmy, with Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, what okay, after the match, what looked like a win for you? Who looked like it had the one?
Charlotte.
Okay.
Charlotte, 100%.
All right. So even though in the books it says Raw had the clean sweep, I think that's where they could tell the story here to build Charlotte's character much more as it already has, kind of become a legend, if you will. I know that's an overused term for a lot of people in life, but she has really been at the top of the mountain, if you will, for the women's division in the WWE. We can both agree on that over the last couple of years.
Yeah, since Dallas and WrestleMania, when Charlotte won the new women's championship that turned into the Raw championship and the SmackDown, she's been the flag bearer for the women's division since WrestleMania in Dallas.
And it just goes along with her title as the queen. And if you listen to Michael Cole in the commentary, he said that, you know, Ronda is getting into Charlotte's ring. You're not doing any good by going up against Charlotte here. So I think that's where they could tell the story that Charlotte was the one who had the ultimate win for SmackDown in the Survivor Series, even though it was a disqualification. But she's the one that came out the unofficial victor, if you will. That looked like a victory for Charlotte instead of Ronda Rousey, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. At every turn, Charlotte was there to either reverse or counter, or there was a point in the match where Ronda had an advantage for a moment and turned and just started talking to the crowd, and Charlotte hit her with a spear for a near fall.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's the focus. That's the intensity of Charlotte. Like, everything, if you watch her matches really closely, like, there is no wasted movement in her matches. Everything has a purpose, and there seems to be a lot of consistent action going on.
Yeah, totally. And you know, personally, I think Charlotte is better as a heel. And
oh, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and someone asked me on Twitter, they said, you know, here's Charlotte as a heel. Does that mean that we get Becky as a face now?
Becky already is.
Exactly. And I think that's what everybody wanted from the start. And that's what we're going to get. I mentioned it here a few weeks ago, we could have had the double turn and they failed on that. But now it looks like you're going to have that. Does that also mean that Ronda Rousey becomes a heel? I think she's still a face, though.
No, they tried very hardly. WWE tried to portray her as the beaten up, bloodied face.
Yeah, she's definitely the face right now, and that's how it's going.
And the crowd just didn't. The crowd in Los Angeles just didn't accept it.
No,
like Ronda was getting catcalled on her way up the ramp, and she snapped back at some people.
Exactly, and Charlotte was getting the love from the fans, if you will.
Well, she should. I mean, she is the queen.
I mean, so good match. That was the story of the show, and that just sets up so much possibility.
100%, Mike.
Yep. I mean, you could have, okay.
This is what this all means, Mike, is they can still do Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania if they want to. They can do a three-way match and add Becky Lynch into the equation of that.
Yep.
So that's the good news here for WWE, is that they have viable options
for
Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch.
Okay, and you know what's even better? The tables, ladders, and chairs, now that both brands are together, you could have them go up against each other in a ladder match or even a chairs match if you want. Go ahead. Have Ronda Rousey want revenge right there. Or you put them both.
Well, I think in the short term, Mike, I think in the short term that Becky versus Charlotte is going to happen at TLC, and they can play the story that Becky was disappointed that Charlotte didn't make Ronda Rousey tap out.
Okay. And Ronda Rousey will want revenge for getting her ass kicked.
And this is also a way that they can not have Becky win the Rumble, not have Charlotte win the Rumble, and get Ronda versus one of the SmackDown superstars into a WrestleMania match.
I was also going to suggest two.
Or they could just do the three-way.
Right. And I thought of this during the match. say they do have, which all signs indicate, and you and I think we're on the same page here, you have Charlotte and Ronda at TLC. You put the title on the line, and
Charlotte and Ronda at TLC?
Yep, and what I'm saying is, if Charlotte beats Ronda, obviously you switch them both. You put Charlotte on Raw. You put Ronda on SmackDown, and that sets up an automatic feud right there, Ronda and Becky Lynch. Could happen.
I mean, it's good outside the box thinking. I just think that they are keeping it so that the brands don't cross over except for Survivor Series exception or winner of the Royal Rumble decides that they want to fight another brand's champion.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought of it during the match. I said, yeah, possibility. But, you know, staying on the women's side here with the return of Becky Lynch, whenever that is to happen, you got to think that she's going to go after Nia Jax at some point. But it looks like Nia Jax is going to have her shot against Ronda Rousey very soon, too, because they hinted at that at the end of the Charlotte match there with Ronda.
Well, Nia won the Battle Royal back at Evolution, earning a championship match against Ronda Rousey. Yep. Thought that just popped into my head. Could they have put this beat down on Ronda Rousey to make her vulnerable so Nia Jax can beat Ronda? Because Nia Jax has next level anger from the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's when NBA villain player comes into your house and gets the ball and is dribbling at the top of the key, everyone boos. Nia Jax comes out and everybody booed. She got in the ring. Everybody booed. The camera focused on her. Everybody booed. You had 18,000 people just booing every movement. And the WWE did a brilliant thing by capitalizing on it during the match and then having Nia Jax as the sole survivor. Right. So they could do a pivot here and have Nia Jax beat Ronda Rousey for the women's championship. Mm-hmm. That way she's away from the Raw Women's Championship. Ronda goes in and wins the Rumble, and then she goes and she wants to challenge either Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch, who is the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Right.
And then that way, you get Ronda Rousey onto SmackDown, which is going to be on Fox Television, and Fox wants Ronda Rousey on their program.
Yeah, I mean, that's not for another year now, a little under a year at this point. But, yeah, it's an easy way to do that and keep her right in that situation there. I think that's a good scenario. And I really think that the whole Nia Jax situation there, along with the Charlotte Flair heel turn, brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant.
It's great stuff.
And she's gonna ride that out. It's great. Watching that match there, and you're right, getting the boos, it was awesome. So Nia Jax, much better, again, much better character as a heel. So excited to see how this turns out as well.
Well, she's an accidental heel.
True.
but we criticize Vince McMahon for not listening to the audience. Yep. Here's a situation where he's listening to the audience, and they took full advantage of that.
Yep.
So good on them. We wish they would listen to the audience on other things, but it's a reaction.
I wish they would listen on this situation here for the Survivor Series, Jimmy, to make a stipulation out of it. Because in the end, do you really care that Raw swept SmackDown?
I actually do, because I think it's disgraceful that Raw is just... Everybody loves SmackDown, and I think if you talk to some of the performers privately, they would call SmackDown the better show. For them to just blow through the SmackDown roster like they did, it made me sick. And maybe it's because I was conditioned to thinking, oh well, it'll be a tie or it'll be 4-3 because that's traditional booking. And Vince is like, nope, Raw's the better show. We'll prove it to him. We'll show you. We'll sweep SmackDown right out. I mean, Fox has to be thrilled about this.
Yeah, but do you think Vince really thinks Raw is the better show? I think he thinks that might be a compliment to SmackDown, the fact they got swept. Because in the end, I think Raw needed the win like that. They need to put Raw over. They know that it's down. So it's almost like the same theory of when people say all the time, well, he doesn't need a championship or she doesn't need a championship because of the size. It's kind of like that with SmackDown. We know that SmackDown's a better show. People enjoy SmackDown more, and the fact that Raw had to sweep SmackDown to put itself over like that, it's kind of sad in a way when you think about it.
Here's how I know Vince McMahon thinks Raw is the better show. Vince shows up and produces Raw. He doesn't show up to every SmackDown.
Yeah, well, he's also, it's been around longer too. That is their quote-unquote flagship show. So I agree. I'm with you there. But I think that in the end, Raw needed the win over SmackDown. And my point, put a stipulation on it. Do a change on, you know, make them have the first draft pick in the Superstar Shakeup, or, you know, make a change the night after for the title. Say, we're going to bring this one over, or we're going to have a handicap match to determine who is our next, I don't know, who's going to be the number one entrant in the Royal Rumble and so forth, or we don't have to enter till number 30s. Something along those lines, anything. Put some stipulation on it. I didn't even remember until Michael Cole mentioned at the beginning of the show, he goes, oh, for the second straight year, Asuka could be the sole survivor of the women's traditional Survivor Series match. And this might be it. Are you kidding me? I had no idea. I didn't care about that until you mentioned that. It had no meaning to me because there was no stipulation on the Survivor Series. Nothing.
Mickie James is still unbeaten at Survivor Series on team.
Again, I had no idea until you just told me that.
You're welcome. Love Mickie
stipulation.
James.
Do it.
So aside from that, I was really disappointed in the Seth Rollins Nakamura match. It was okay, but I had higher expectations for it. Mike, I can't tell you how much I hated the men's Survivor Series match. They eliminate Samoa Joe in the first few minutes, and then Shane puts Braun through a table when neither are the legal men. Then Braun comes back and burns through the remaining team members in about 5 or 6 minutes. Just, you can tell a better story than that, I think. And they chose not to. They chose to keep telling us that Braun Strowman is this super destroying monster, which we already know. And so now he gets to beat up Baron Corbin, and he gets to, what, lose again to Brock Lesnar?
Well, you saw the whole little thing there with he and Drew McIntyre. That sets something up there.
Neat. He gets to blow through Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, more than likely.
Drew McIntyre, who, that's going to be a Universal Champion.
This whole pay-per-view, it was just kind of like the springboard for so many other storylines to come. I think that's what it really was, between Charlotte and Ronda, between that one right there, the Raw men's traditional match.
Mike, I had such high expectations for the show, and I was just so disappointed on a number of levels with this show.
It's hard because it's a traditional pay-per-view.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Yeah. I'm frustrated. I don't want to say I wasted 3 hours, 4 hours of my life, but I feel like I could get a refund on some time here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that too. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it fully, but yeah, the Rollins Nakamura match, it was
disappointment.
Like,
okay. It was a disappointment.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever, you know, just move on. Great, it could have ended earlier. Okay.
Do you have something you want to yell about?
Yeah, exactly. See you later, guys. But I mean, we know that it's going to be Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose next month. So go ahead,
which will be a fabulous match. But you know what? We've seen it already. That's another thing. Like this is off topic. Is WWE did this Chronicle thing on Dean Ambrose, which was a fabulous thing, but it was very like character contrived, maybe. Except for one scene where they're on the mountain and Dean goes, I really didn't want to turn on Seth Rollins. And that's me paraphrasing it, but.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So it's like, are we doing this thing in character or are we not? Like,
yeah, let's figure it out, guys.
You had a Raw that was totally focused on you for 3 hours and you're upset about it.
Right. Pick a side. Come on. You know, did you see War Games, by the way?
I did. I love that show.
Okay.
Except the War Games match I thought was too long.
It was, okay. In your opinion, at least.
And my 47 minutes is way too long for that.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't need all of that. But everything else was fabulous.
Okay, I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yes, absolutely. You should definitely invest in NXT.
Nice.
Do you have something else you want to yell at before I just kind of scroll through my notes here?
I'm just going to go right back on it again. I'm going to beat a dead horse in this, and I will. This will be my last comment on the night. This there really has to be a stipulation for the Survivor Series next year. If not, I don't think there's a need to have this pay-per-view anymore. There really is not when you think about it. It's just bragging rights. It's a springboard for the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. If you're not going to put something on the line to have one brand better than the other for, you know, instead of this stupid verbal bragging right, then get rid of it altogether or change the name.
Well, I'm fine with this with your whole thing about stipulations. No problem with that. I do think that they choose to make Survivor Series the quote-unquote the dream match pay-per-view. Bryan versus Brock, Charlotte versus Ronda, which was originally Becky versus Ronda, Rollins right. versus Nakamura. You get some tag team crossover matchups. I like that idea of it. They should have something attached to it. I mean, I guess the stipulation was Braun now gets to beat up Baron Corbin.
Yeah. And that
and he gets a Universal Championship match, which I assume will be the Royal Rumble in Phoenix at Chase Field.
Yep.
If it's not sooner than that.
Right. We'll see him in 2 months in 2019.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
So there are your stipulations, Mike. Be happy. They gave you your stipulations.
Yeah, quote unquote, right?
I think actually the winner of the mixed match challenge gets number 30 in their respective Royal Rumbles.
Okay, well, that's fair.
So like when Charlotte and AJ or Charlotte and Jeff Hardy win the mixed match challenge, they will both be number 30 unless Charlotte wins the championship, which who knows?
That could happen.
I still think they're going to do Becky and Charlotte at TLC, and they'll do a TLC match, and it'll be great. And, you know, we'll be leading off with another Charlotte story, not because of my own personal bias, but because, I don't know, it was the best stuff on the show.
She carried the show. She carried the show, and that was the headline of it, and that was the best part of Survivor Series 2018.
Coming up, we'll go through some of the other details that stood out to us at Survivor Series.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So, Mike, some of the other things that stood out to me at Survivor Series was the Usos on the pre-show had a fabulous match. But really, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, Nia Jax, 18,000 fans booed her out of the building. And it was tremendous in that women's match. Not my favorite part of that match. My favorite part of that match was the back and forth that Sasha Banks and Asuka had. Crowd was into it. I was into it. This is that dream match scenario that you and I talked about. Banks versus Asuka. Good stuff. Good back and forth. And Bayley and Sonya Deville had a good back and forth as well. And this amplifies my point of, well, can we get Sasha and Bayley into better spots? Can we do something with them? Or are they just going to be, they're going to be last minute replacements on the Raw women's team?
Right. And it's almost like very underutilized and underappreciated. So, I mean, maybe you see them turn the corner and get more of a push here going into the new year. I thought by this time we would have the women's tag team championships out, too. And I thought that they'd be carrying that load, but that has not come to fruition yet. So, yeah, it was a good little showing what they put together there and the Asuka, Sasha Banks situation. Asuka got a nice pop, too, when she went after
that. Los Angeles loved her.
Yeah, but when she went after Nia Jax, and that just made the story better with Nia being the heel and, you know.
Everything Asuka. Nia did, she got booed. She it got was great, booed.
Though. Yeah, but it told a good story, and they're going to ride that hot hand.
It's interesting because I know social media was clamoring for Nia Jax to get punished. And instead, Vince hears the boos, the real reaction, the real, real passionate outrage. Like, you took Becky Lynch away from us.
Right, right.
And so guess what, Nia? You're getting a push.
And Nia works well with Alexa Bliss. I know they rivaled last year for a little.
Because they're real-life best friends.
Exactly. And they're two evil people on camera, too. So it works great. And when they were together at first, it worked out good. So I'm looking forward to see what happens here.
Seth Rollins beat Shinsuke Nakamura in a match I was really disappointed with. Seth is the best worker on Raw. Shinsuke Nakamura isn't at all close to what he was in New Japan, which is disappointing because I really liked his New Japan work. And since he's been under WWE/NXT contract, he's had one good match, and that was Sami Zayn, his debut night. And Nakamura has been a disappointment. I wonder when his contract is up, because I feel like AJ, Anderson and Gallows and Nakamura all signed around the same time. So maybe Nakamura has a contract issue and he's on his way out. I don't know. That's something else to watch for. But Nakamura, unfortunately, has been a disappointment in his WWE run.
Yeah, and you know, he got the push so early, and it just kind of was egg in his face right away, and it just has not worked. It kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, an old athlete, like say like a Mariano Rivera, who was lights out for years, and say he's still out of the bullpen in his 50s when he should be retired. It's kind of like that right here with him. So good in New Japan, not good here on the WWE situation. Just go into the spotlight, or the sunlight rather, and walk away. I don't think it's working out for him.
Did you watch the AOP versus the Bar match?
I did, and I thought it was okay.
AOP came to the ring, and I went and I did my dishes.
All right, so
I'm not a fan of their work. Cruiserweights had a great match. Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali, tremendous stuff there.
Okay, let me say something about that, if you don't mind. Going into that match, that's where I was going to do the same thing you were going to do with the dishes. I was like, let me go, you know, do the dishes, maybe take a shower or something during this match. But watching that promo for it with the Buddy win in Australia over Cedric Alexander, I'm like, I'm actually going to watch this match. And 205 is exciting. It really is. It's underappreciated. Great athleticism. I wasn't heavily invested in the match, but I came to a new appreciation for it after watching it.
Yeah, 205 Live has some really good matches, some really good stuff. So you should invest in it.
Yep, Mike Bennett should be champion.
Maybe WrestleMania.
Oh, all right.
I mean, that's a hope. I don't have any insider information there, but hopefully WrestleMania. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I complained about that. Here's how the sequence went. Joe pinned by McIntyre. I screamed out an F-bomb. The crowd screamed BS. Ray pins Finn. Shane pins Dolph. Braun pins Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Miz, and Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I wrote in all caps. That was terrible. That might be one of the worst Survivor Series matches in history.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
As far as the team elimination thing, that thing was terrible.
Okay,
I put it in the same company as like the Bushwhacker Men on a Mission.
I was about to ask you that. What was worse, that one or the Doink the Clown one? Okay, so it's right up there.
At least in 93, I would have been, 10 years old? So I probably was doing the Men on a Mission thing, and I was probably into it. But looking back on it as a 37-year-old adult, terrible. Just terrible stuff. With all the star power that's in the ring, and you do that, just why even bother?
Yeah. I mean, they just wanted to put Shane out to, you know, jump off the turnbuckle onto the table and then go across the ring there. That's all it was about. And he got his ass kicked by Braun Strowman when he tried to go across the ring. Didn't work.
A few notes from the Charlotte Ronda match, which, big picture, best stuff on the show. Absolutely best stuff on the show.
Yep.
Observations from me. WWE is making Ronda sell a lot in these matches. Last month, she tried to sell for Nikki Bella. The month before was Alexa Bliss. And that was, of course, the rematch from SummerSlam where she just blew doors on Alexa. And now Charlotte. Charlotte, I think, was more believable in this instance. But Ronda Rousey should be blowing through competitors. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Charlotte Flair and the way they did Alexa Bliss, but she should have blown through Nikki Bella. And maybe this speaks to the lack of depth on the women's roster. But I don't think people necessarily at the moment want to see, with the exception of tonight, want to see Ronda in competitive matches. If you get the big opponent, Charlotte, Becky, yes. But everybody else, she should blow doors on.
Yeah.
Run through some people.
It's kind of like... you know, she's obviously not the same physique as Braun Strowman, but same situation, or Brock Lesnar. You know, but this whole match here tonight with Charlotte, going back to my point of, you know, Raw saying that they had the sweep, it just shows that Charlotte was a tough one to take down and almost impossible to take down. So for even someone like Ronda Rousey, who should be blowing people out of the gate, that is the top dog in the company right there for the women's side, Charlotte Flair, and that's why she had such a difficult time doing that. And in the end, really did lose a match.
Yes, she 100. Charlotte won, Ronda Rousey 0.
Yeah.
So just,
but in the books, it does say Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I know.
In the books, it's saying.
So in my notes, I wrote, I think they just flipped Charlotte, which kind of talked about that. The natural selection on the chair, great spot. Charlotte stomped a chair with Ronda's neck inside of it.
Yeah.
And I wrote, was the crowd chanting, thank you, Charlotte?
I couldn't make out what they were saying.
It felt like they were chanting, thank you, Charlotte. But yeah. I realistically couldn't tell.
If they were saying that, then there was something else, too. At the end, I couldn't make out what they were saying when Ronda Rousey was walking out of the ring with the help of the medical aid there, but it was kind of like a positive chant toward her. I couldn't make it out.
Oh, so there was a you deserved it chant at Ronda.
Wow. What did she do to have that?
That's what I'm wondering.
Wow. People are sick.
But Ronda got beat up really good. They showed some close-ups of the welts on her arm and her back, and she was bloodied, not only just from the forearm, but just like those kendo shots. I think she had some blood coming out of her ear. I mean, that was violent.
And regardless, she sold it very well.
Oh, Ronda did great. And again, Ronda has been the rookie of the year. Her matches have been, no matter how much they have worked on them before, she has been fabulous. And don't get me wrong, she's been in there with talented people. Kurt Angle, Triple H, Stephanie, Alexa Bliss is talented. Right. I think Nikki Bella had a run where she was a really good ring general before this last run. Now I'm not so much a fan of her work. And Charlotte, of course, is fabulous, as we all know. And she would have had a good match with Becky, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it just seems like, where you were saying that you could have that three-way match there with Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda at WrestleMania, it's just more indication that Becky will be in the main event of WrestleMania after all the concussions and this real-life injury here.
Yeah, it feels that way.
Yep.
And then just to kind of wrap up my notes, the Bryan versus Brock stuff, we talked about that a little bit. The mocking and taunting of Daniel Bryan, the crazed look in his eyes, just all that stuff. That was the good stuff, I thought, from that match.
Yep. Yeah. And, Brock Lesnar right at the very beginning being that bully and, you know, just a tough guy to take down. But I'm really excited to see what's going to happen here with Daniel Bryan as the villain and more or less kind of like a psycho, if you will.
Right. Mike, did you have any other thoughts from Survivor Series?
I just, you know, on the same page as you, Jimmy, I had more expectation going into it. And like I said at the beginning of this show, I wasn't super disappointed with it. I understand the whole aspect of it afterwards, as you know, to set up so much down the line here. So it's the bridge more or less to the Royal Rumble, and then the start of the bridge to the Royal Rumble, and then of course to WrestleMania. A lot of storytelling where we saw the advent of that, if you will, with everything tonight. So I give it a B minus, a B.
You're giving Survivor Series a B minus.
I mean, I could give it a B plus, but I gave it a B minus. So you're lucky. You're gonna give it what, a D minus?
The stuff that saved it was the Charlotte stuff and Daniel Bryan's comeback. I mean, I would have failed this show. I thought
the Nia Jax heel thing was great. That's gonna be cool.
So there are three good things out of 4 hours.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you right now.
I wanted more. I was so hyped up for this show.
I know.
I was so into it. I was looking forward to it. I told everybody who would listen, this is going to be a great show. And I left disappointed.
I'll tell you one
really
thing right
disappointed.
Now. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. I didn't rule out a trip to Los Angeles up until about a month ago. And
well, you got to go get your chair now, because that chair that they have for the ringside people, that is a chair for you.
You're darn right it is, but like I was going to say, I am not disappointed that I missed the boat on flying out to L.A. for this one.
One kind of final note from my end, and we kind of touched it on a little bit. NXT War Games was Saturday night. Fabulous show. Ciampa was great. Velveteen Dream was awesome. Johnny Wrestling is fabulous. The women's match was great. I didn't think they need to go 47 minutes for War Games. You'll watch it. We'll get your thoughts on it at some point. But that was really the only other stuff that I have left over in my notes. Mike, any closing thoughts?
You know, Jimmy, want to thank all the listeners for tuning in each week. We've been pretty successful here in the show. And as we do thank people, want to wish everyone a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving this week.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to all. I wish there was you know what, because the show is so terrible, you should go to the WWE Network and watch a classic Survivor Series on Thanksgiving evening.
Well, you know what you could do, make it easy, go back in the archives, you and I did, 1996, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Survivor Series, do the watch along with us, that was a pretty good match.
You could do that too. I think that'll wrap everything up.
Hey,
you got anything left in your bucket?
One final thing, if you don't mind
sure,
me asking.
Sure, please do.
Would you ever like to see the WWE go back to Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving night on Survivor Series?
I would say yes, because I'd watch it from my couch that night, but I don't think they would, because I think they have carved out Sunday night as that's the night that we're going to do our U.S. pay-per-views, our U.S.-Canadian pay-per-views.
Yeah, I think that's that ship kind of sailed. In fact, the last time they did Thanksgiving Eve was 1994, so it's been a long time since that.
Well, Mike, I think it's also it's a different market now.
Oh, totally.
Where you didn't have everything that was families got together on Thanksgiving, and there wasn't cable TV, and the wrestling matches are in town, or the wrestling matches are on pay-per-view. Let's do that.
Right.
And now that's just, it's not a thing as much as it once was.
True. And also,
because you have three football games now.
Well,
you have
it.
People hung over from whatever chemical is in Turkey,
right.
Or they're just hung over.
In general. Yeah.
And you have all these on-demand services, and sometimes there's a new movie that comes out, and wrestling on Thanksgiving just isn't what it once was.
It doesn't sell. Yeah. So if they do go back to it, if anything, if they ever were to, it would have to be Thanksgiving Eve, but I still don't think it would be successful. Keep it as is, the week going into Thanksgiving. So that makes the holiday a lot more fun, something to look forward to.
Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, Wrestling Inside the Ropes, you can catch that account on Twitter at WrestleCast985. For me, I am James Stewart. That is my Twitter handle, at I am James Stewart. Mike, say goodbye to the people.
James, goodbye to the people. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.